During Jesus' time of ministry, he had spent many months traveling through the towns and villages of Palestine. He preached about the kingdom of God wherever he went. He performed miracles. He healed the sick, and he raised the dead back to life. However, the time had come for him to claim his title as the Messiah, the Savior that God had promised to the Jewish people. Jesus knew his mission was almost finished, and so he would now go into the holy city of Jerusalem for Passover. As they traveled to Jerusalem, Jesus warned his disciples that he would soon be put to death, and that after 3 days, he would rise again. As they came near Jerusalem, he said to two of them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a donkey that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it back. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" And so they went ahead into the holy city of Jerusalem. And although the city was crowded with thousands of pilgrims who had come for the annual Passover celebration, the men found the donkey tied near the door outside in the street, just as Jesus had said. As they were untying it, some bystander said to him, "What are you doing untying the colt?" The disciple told him that what Jesus had said, and they allowed him to take it. Then they brought the donkey to Jesus. As Jesus and his disciples approached the city, news of his arrival spread. A multitude of people appeared and laid their garments on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and laid them in his path.
"Boy, why are you running?"
"I saw him. He's with many men. Jesus is coming. He's coming."
And when he had entered into Jerusalem, there were many people who were asking, "Who is this?" And the multitude said,
"This is Jesus, the prophet of Galilee."
Many people had heard of Jesus, and they had also heard stories of the men who had left their work and their families to follow him. They were not only his followers, but they had also become his friends, as well as the keepers of the stories of his ministry. During Jesus' time of ministry, his band of men had spent many months traveling through the towns and the villages of Palestine. He preached about the kingdom of God wherever he went. He sought out the broken and the wounded and the outcast and the dying. He offered hope and the promise of eternal life to anyone who would listen and believe. He often performed miracles. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and raised the dead back to life. His healings went far beyond what anyone had ever seen or experienced. They continued during his week in Jerusalem. It would be no different. Shortly after his arrival to the city, Jesus made his way into the temple. It was crowded with people buying and selling their wares on the steps of his holy place. When he saw what was taking place, he became angry and quickly approached all who had gathered. Jesus overturned the temples of the money changers and the merchants, and he drove them out.
Stop! Get out of here! Said stop it! Get out of here! It is written that my house should be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of robbers.
Those in charge were angry, and they were threatened by him. And yet Jesus continued to go into the temple every day. He drew large crowds through his teaching. Blind people, crippled people, and sick people came, and he healed all of them. He told stories and parables to help people fully understand the kingdom of God and God's love for all people. And even though he had been welcomed into the city, there were those who questioned him, and he began to be tested. He was even confronted by an expert of the Jewish law. He asked Jesus, which of God's commandments was most important? And Jesus replied,
love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But the second is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments and all the teachings of the prophets are based on these two things.
And they listened. Yet there were others who were not happy that Jesus was preaching at the temple every day. The chief priests and elders of the temple grew more and more angry and more upset. The chief priest had given permission for merchants and money changers to use the outer courtyard of the temple. However, Jesus had driven them out. They were afraid of the reaction by Roman authorities because of the large crowds that followed Jesus and listened to his teachings. Worst of all, for them, the people were putting their hopes and their trust in Jesus. The temple officials felt that Jesus had challenged their authority, and they felt it slipping away. The temple officials began to come up with a plan to trap Jesus with his own words. And so they came to Jesus, demanding to know by what authority he was doing these things. If Jesus said his authority was from God, they would accuse him of blasphemy. If he did not claim authority from God, they could say he was just a false prophet. But Jesus knew it was a trap. Instead of answering the question, he asked them another question.
Tell us, by whose authority do you do these things? By whose authority do you speak?
He wanted to know if the baptism of John was from heaven or from man. The temple officials realized this question was also a trap. If they said yes, Jesus would say, then why did you not believe him? If they said no, it would make the people angry because they believed that John the Baptist was indeed a prophet. So they refused to answer. And they left. Jesus had defeated his opponents once more. He had also embarrassed them once again. Now the temple officials were even more angry, and they began to a plot to discredit him and to have him killed. Because of these events, there was a great unrest among those who were closest to him. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the priest.
Gentlemen, this man, Jesus, is stirring up the people against us. We must find a way to get rid of him. And the solution must be permanent. We must find the perfect time and place, somewhere far away from his adoring public. And so, to that end, I offer the services of this man. You. Come. May I introduce Judas Iscariot. And he has agreed, for a price, to hand his master over to us tomorrow evening in some out-of-the-way place.
Sir, I...
And if everything goes as planned, and with a little convincing from Pontius Pilate, we shall have this man tried, convicted, and executed before the Passover begins.
What will you give me to betray him?
They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment on, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, it was time to gather. The disciples came to Jesus, saying,
Rabbi, where would you have us prepare the Passover?
Go into the city to a certain man and tell him that the teacher says my time is near, and I will keep the Passover at his house with my disciples.
So the disciple did as Jesus had directed him, and the others gathered and prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were gathered, he said to them,
Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.
And they each became greatly distressed, and they began to say to him one after the other,
Surely not I, Lord. Could you mean me? Lord, could you mean me? Is it me, Lord? Not I, Lord.
And the others followed likewise, each one questioning Jesus, asking him if he was referring to them. And then he answered,
The one who has dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, for it would have been better for him not to have been born at all.
Rabbi, do you mean me?
You have said so.
At that point, Judas left them.
Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
After the meal was finished, Jesus then went with three of his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to those with him,
"Stay here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. After a while, he began to be grieved and agitated, and then Jesus said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Stay awake. Remain here while I go and pray." "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And yet not what I want, but what you want."
And he left and came back to the disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to them,
"You cannot stay awake with me for 1 hour. Stay awake. Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but flesh is so weak."
So again he went away from them for the second time, and he continued to pray,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but your will be done."
Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came back to the disciples once more, and he said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
At that moment, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." So at once he came to Jesus, and he said,
"Greetings, Rabbi."
"Friend, do what you must do quickly." "I could at once appeal to my Father, and he would send 12 legions of angels. But then how would it be fulfilled in the scriptures, which say it must happen in this way? If you come with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit, day after day I sat in the temple teaching. You did not arrest me. But all of this has happened so that the scriptures of the prophets would be fulfilled."
They took Jesus away. Those who arrested him took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. The chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the entire council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and brought him back and handed him over to Pilate.
"This had better be important to have awakened me in the middle of the night."
"Pontius Pilate, Your Excellency, we are grateful to have your audience, sir." "Guards! Here is our problem."
"And what are the charges you are bringing against this man?"
"He is a criminal. Otherwise, we would not be handing him over to you."
"Then take him yourselves and judge him by your own law."
"May I respectfully remind His Excellency
that we are not permitted to execute anyone.
So, you are the prophet from Nazareth, aren't you? You know, I've heard some things about you. My wife even saw you in her nightmares. So I ask, just who are you? Are you the king of the Jews?
Are those your words? Or what others have told you about me?
What? You think I am a Jew? It is your people and your priests who have handed you over to me. Have you no answer? You see how many charges they bring against you? What is it you were supposed to have done?
My kingdom is not of this world. No, my kingdom is from another place.
So, you are a king.
You're right in saying that I am a king. For this reason, I was born into this world. For this reason, I was brought to this place to testify to the truth.
What is truth?
But Jesus made no further reply. Pilate stood before him, puzzled and amazed. As was the custom each year during the time of Passover, a prisoner was released for the Jews, anyone for whom they asked.
Do you want me to release for you this king of the Jews? Silence! Silence! You take him. I find no basis for a charge against him.
But we have a law. And according to that law, this man must die because he claimed to be the Son of God.
But I have found no fault with this man. What do you wish me to do with this man you call the King of the Jews? Silence! Why? What evil has this man done? Stop! Quiet! Silence! Do you hear what they are saying? Tell me, where do you come from? Speak to me! Don't you know who I am? I have the power to free you or to crucify you. Take him away. I am innocent of this man's blood. Let him be crucified.
Jesus was taken away, and Pilate released Barabbas for those who had cried out for him. After beating and whipping and torturing Jesus, he was handed over to be crucified. The soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. And then they began saluting him and mocking him. They struck his head with a reed. They spat upon him. They knelt down in homage to them. And after mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. They paraded him through the streets, making him carry the cross on which he was to be crucified. And then they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, and they nailed him to a cross. Jesus hung there and was crucified. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. An inscription was hung on the cross above his head. On it was written the charge against him. It simply read, "The King of the Jews." In agony and racked with pain, Jesus called out,
My God! My God! Why have you forsaken me?
Finally, after being tortured more and mocked by many of those who had gathered to witness the crucifixion, he let out a loud cry. He breathed his last breath. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and came out of the tombs and entered the holy city, and they appeared to many, many people. Then there was silence, except for the cries of his mother. When the centurion and those who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what had taken place, they were terrified. But the centurion who had witnessed all that had taken place looked at Jesus and said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."